Yes. All right, I call this meeting order. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, the Lord, just thank you for this day, dear Lord, and the Lord, just guide and direct each and every one of us, and the Lord, just help us to make our county a better place, and the Lord, just thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Need approval of the minutes of the regular meeting, February the 1st.
Motion.
The motion, Mr. Osteen, second, Mr. Wood, all in favor. Vouchers.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Aye.
Any constitutional officer here would like to speak? Nope. Need a motion to go into public hearing.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Aye.
We got a petition by Kenneth and Lori Black requesting special exceptions be granted as provided in Section 4.3.5 Special Exceptions of the Dixon County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle, ESA zoning district, in accordance with a petition dated 1/22/2024, to be located on the property described. It's Dixon County Parcel 01-10-13-4512-0000-0340. 508
Northeast 76, Old Town, Florida, 3268-0. Commissioner, do we have any opposition?
Okay.
Anybody here oppose it? Anybody on the phone? I called Mr. Black and spoke with him. Looked at the piece of property and like everything I seen, and he answered the questions all right, so I'm going to make a motion to approve.
Got a motion, Mr. Wood, to approve.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Aye.
That piece of property that you went and looked at, it is right next door to a massive code enforcement case.
I wasn't going to say nothing about that. But
you went?
I noticed it. Miss it.
Yes, sir, it's on the
so, I knew there was order.
Been on that. That's why I didn't say nothing. Yeah. So, petition by WPRD Ventures, LLC, and the agent is Justin Rowe, requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.3.5, Special Exception of Dixon County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle, ESA zoning district, in accordance with a petition dated 1/18/2024, to be located on the property as described as follows, Dixon County Parcel 36-0913-3500-0000-160-38-304-Hadley, Old Town, Florida, 32680, and as Commission District 1, Jody Stevenson.
I'm not Jody Stevenson. Make that clear. But he's in the hospital. So, is there any opposition on that?
No, sir, but the owners are here.
All right, where are they at? Can y'all come up and... What do you want to do here, buddy? Have you spoke to Jody, the commissioner?
No.
Okay. What do you want to do here?
We want to put a camper on it, and then we're trying to pay a couple of things off and put them on.
Right, you're running in an LLC. Are you planning on letting this out?
No, I'm buying it from them.
Oh, you're buying it from them?
Okay.
Okay. All right. Anybody opposing? Anybody on the phone? Have y'all heard anything from Jody on this?
No.
No. Have not. Well, hopefully he hasn't heard nothing either, so I'll make a motion to approve.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to approve. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor.
Aye.
So, petition by Alan B. Shaw, located on the property described as follows, which is county parcel number 25090900410000520 17 Southwest 879th Street, Steinhatchee, Florida, to request a variance for the reduction of the rear setbacks from 25 feet down to 5 feet for the construction of a new home by petition dated 11-20-20, which is located in section 4.17 PRD, Planned Residential Development, of the Dixon County Land Development Regulations in accordance with section 12.3 Variance Procedures, Commission District 5, Mr. David Osteen. So this is inside the River Shores.
Mm-hmm.
It's a variance that pretty much every one of them asked for.
There's no opposition on the phone. Any in the audience? Have y'all heard anything?
I haven't.
Motion.
You got a motion to approve?
Second.
Got a motion to approve, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye. Go back to board.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch, go back to board. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution 2024-07.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
2024-08.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Wood.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye.
And resolution 2024-09.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Good deal. Danny George, you up.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Mr. Chairman, board, and members of the public, I started making these flags primarily due to our oldest and youngest sons both being firefighter professionals. I got started when our youngest, when he was at Gilchrist Fire at the time, got some failed hose to make a flag for his own house. He'd gotten the idea off the internet. He had had some left over, and I asked him to help me make one for our house, and we were actually going through a renovation at the time. I described to my wife how big the flag was going to be and which wall I wanted, and she told me that I couldn't do it, but it's on the wall. I changed the design a bit from the one that we did in our house, and with some leftover hose, still had one to make for a local fundraiser for a local charity. That flag, that one that night, that was for auction, and an additional one were crested that night, both sold for $2,500 apiece, and that kind of started this whole process. As well, Gilchrist Fire received a flag also. As my youngest son made his way to GFR, Gainesville Fire, he obtained some more hose, and I was able to make one for them and also for several more flags for charities, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, North Central Florida, Haven Hospice, and then even made one for Congresswoman Kat Kamick with those funds going to an Alachua County fireman who had face cancer. The money went to him, and the flag went to her. Anytime you see her interviewed on Fox News, she'll in her office, she'll stand in front of that flag. Kat's husband, Matt, works at GFR with my youngest son, Matt, and her hose was actually, or her flag was made from hose from fire departments that she covers, Gilchrist, Levy, and Alachua, Gainesville. As well, Chiefland has received a flag, Bronson, recently, and their failed hose flag also sold at an auction for $3,300 for a local charity supporting fostering and single moms in our area, in the Tri-County area. This one, tonight for Dixie County Fire, makes flag number 12. One for Levy County is done in my shop. That's flag number 13, and just trying to get that scheduled for delivery. So in total, I've raised over $20,000 for local charities from this leftover hose. My wife says that these are labors of love. I guess so. They cost me about $200 to make. I don't ever sell for my purposes and only make for firehouses, districts, and for the various charities. As well, I don't really know how long they take me to make because I just slip out in my shop and spend 15 minutes here, an hour there. I do know they're heavy. They can be hung, French pleat brackets provided, or they can remain on the floor stands that sort of come along with them. So on behalf of my family, who loves the Tri-County area, and for all of those that when everybody else is running away from something, this is a gift to those that are running into something. So thanks for what you all do every day, for enduring the things that you have to see on a routine basis, and for serving us. And so all I ask in return is a quick photo with the commissioners, as many of the fire professionals as possible, and that's it. So let me unveil it to you.
Yes.
Oh, it was great.
Wow.
That's pretty cool out of the hoses.
Come on, guys.
We're going to let them, if they want one, get out first.
No. Well,
come on, gentlemen. We're getting here, and if they want another one, they can get it.
Come on.
I'm over here.
I can slide in behind her back.
Okay.
I think I knocked somebody down.
That's all right.
Well, I work hard at night.
Ready to take it off with.
I'll say fire.
Fire.
Don't move.
Is that against the wall?
All right.
I think that's bomb.
Don't move.
Lady, somebody please make sure that I get a copy or two or five or 50.
Right now.
We get Mr. Denny's phone.
I got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
One more.
Okay, here's Lance. Been happier. In 3, 2, one more.
Ladies and gentlemen, while everybody's returning, my guys have been telling me about this, and I've been kind of staying out of the way. Chief Ferguson put a lot of effort into making sure we got the stuff covered up. You know, all I can say is thank you. Mr. Bailey, my guys would love to see this hanging on the wall. They're designing the wall.
It better be sturdy.
Thank you again.
Yeah, you're welcome. Very much. Thank you. Appreciate it. I'll leave this behind there. Just an additional quick update on the fiber side. We're working with the town of Cross City and working on some maps to get all that solved for the Duke side. But, you know, what's interesting, somewhere around August or September of this year, town of Suwanee may be a little bit behind the rest of it, but other than that, every single home in Dixie County will have high-speed internet faster than what is currently in Gainesville. So considering where we were 2 years ago,
that's great.
Pretty awesome.
You're ahead of schedule, too. Miss K.
I would like to invite Councilman Ryan Fulford up here to talk on one of the projects that we're working on together on the train depot. I wasn't supposed to be on here.
At our meeting Monday, we voted to allocate $5,000 towards the painting and the taking the lead paint off the side of the depot and painting this, and we got a quote of almost $16,000. So we're going to put $5,000 into that. We're taking $8,000 of our TDC money, pushing that towards that, leaving $2,000 for the inside and for some future inside improvements. And Ms. Karen Van Arnhem with Cross City Restore and Renew, I believe, is putting three. Was it three we talked about?
I believe.
Okay, so we're going to be able to get that done. We're going to turn that in and go ahead and get that done that way before our centennial, which is April 20th. Everybody invited. 2 years of Cross City. We plan on having that done prior to that date. We're moving along quite swiftly on some of that stuff, and there's actually it's advertised tomorrow at 3:30. There's a committee meeting for the centennial celebration. That's at 3:30. It's advertised for the workshop, so we can anybody can go. I have been able to go. I'm not on the committee. Tank represents the mayor represents the council on that one, but I got them to open it up so anybody can come. Any help would be greatly appreciated getting this done. We want to have a real good time. They've got some good plans, and I've got that some I don't even know about, but I know a few of the things. So it would be come if you can, if you got time, and I'll come back with some updates on that as well for you as it gets a little closer. I'll come back and fill you in, but want to let you know that we got that's what we were doing with our train depot.
again.
Y'all helped us out so much with. We appreciate it, and we're gonna get it where it's not an eyesore anymore. It's gonna be a focal point for a lot of the stuff we're trying to do in tourism, and in Cross City, and goes along with our North Florida Economic Development Partnerships. They all go together. So exciting stuff. You know, seeing things like this come together. And since I've been here now, going on my fourth year. We've been working on that train depot, wanting to get something done with it. We're fixing to see some new paint on it. Make it look pretty right there in the middle of Cross City when people are driving through Dixie County. They'll remember that.
That's right.
And so anyhow, I'm excited about that. Not shut up.
No, thank you. Yeah. Just to explain to some of you, the problem with the paint is the old paint is lead-based paint. So we have ended up learning a lot about lead-based paint and what has to be done to remove it, you know, all the special treatment and everything else. So that's what has delayed it, trying to get all that figured out and get the quotes in. But now that we've got the quotes in, we're able to move forward with it.
One of those quotes was $68,000.
Yes, we're happy with this company out of Gainesville, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
That came in at 16 to handle it for us.
Mm.
That's what I just wanted to report on today.
Okay. Thank you, Ben. We got Miss Frierson here, or Miss Sheila?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Moving on.
Mr. Steve.
He's in Swanee putting in grinder pumps, I'm
okay.
sure.
Okay. Mr. Greg.
Got a couple things. On the EOC, we did receive the water management permit on the 7th. So we just got that in. We're working with utility plans. We're going to be submitting those to the town of Cross City for their review on that, and then finalize everything. We did have a meeting with Darren and his staff discussing the IT needs out there. So moving that ahead. Make sure we're done lifting. We'll make sure we all put the flag on. So, I believe Ms. Martha's got the contract. I guess you're doing the county manager tonight.
Yes, sir.
So we have the contract with Slack on the fire station. We tend to set a pre-construction meeting next week on the 22nd with the contractor on that. Get that one going. The plans and bid documents were submitted to the manager's office on the 5th for the library roof repair. So that's been taken care of. CDBG project, we're still working on the plans on that. We talked about those items last week on the clearance of that. Howe Chairs Road, those plans were resubmitted to DOT. We're just waiting for them to pay those for advertising.
Okay.
Moving ahead pretty quickly on that. We met with the sheriff and his staff Tuesday on the floor plan for the evidence building. We're revising those plans based on his comments for that. So that project is moving on. An update, my transportation director had a conversation with the DOT staff this past week. 349, they're indicating that it's probably going to be October now before they're coming out of their shop to the county. So I think the costs have gone up considerably based on what DOT's looked at. But I think some of that is a result of the storm as well. So there will be a pretty large project coming out of that. But right now, I think the estimate is somewhere in $7 million.
When did you say that? I know we're on the two roads about here that we've been working on. They're getting closer and closer. How much closer are we?
We're at 60%. I would probably say within the next 60 days.
Probably another 3 months.
3 months.
Okay.
Before advertisement.
Okay, so probably another six months or better before we see anything. Okay.
Well, if you advertise in, let's see, we're in February, March, April, you probably see construction in June.
Okay.
Kind of thing.
Good deal.
Now, in the past, we got that's a lot of projects could be advertised. We kind of sometimes try to stagger them depending on
exactly
cash flow and all that.
Exactly. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Exactly.
I'd like to have an input into
exactly
how we do all these. Yep. Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mr. John.
I don't have anything
much. Thank you. Miss Cindy, she's not here, is she? Mr. Freeman, he's not here.
He's not here, but if I can, I could wait till my turn, but this does kind of fall into this category right here.
Well, go ahead.
Mr. Leon got, or I guess it was Mr. Jenkins, actually got served with a lawsuit where we were named in as a defendant. This is on the Lloyd Roberts property in Dixie County. That is one that we also have a code enforcement violation, hence is why we got served, because we have a lien against this property. The bank, and I don't want to try to announce it, but it's something with Duchette Bank. Some of y'all might know which one I'm talking about. It's a well-known bank, but this Dixie County girl can't get her tongue wrapped around that one. But anyway, they've got a mortgage pass-through and all this, so they're suing to foreclose on this property. So we may be able to recover some money. It's real questionable. My understanding, this is a property that burnt. The bank undoubtedly is out about 30,000+. I have got everything prepared to provide her answer and everything. We're well within the time frame, so I didn't want to provide it. So I'd actually brought it before y'all, for y'all to tell me, yes, please go forward. So I take this that we're good to moving forward on filing our answer and trying to make sure that if there is any money left over in any sale process, that we get ours. So I'm
second
that going forward on behalf of code enforcement in the county.
We'll be a second lien holder on that. Is that right?
We are, yes, because the bank, of course, has
the first.
Right.
So it's not going to be instant. It's going to take a little while.
Yeah.
But once again, that's hopefully one of our code enforcement properties that if they do sell it, we'll get some money back. If worse, we don't, at least maybe we'll get it cleaned up by the new owners.
There you go. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Mr. Johnson.
I just wanted to give y'all an update on the compactor. It's backed up and operational.
Yay.
We got it going yesterday. That's all I have. If y'all got anything for me?
I don't know.
Yes, sir. I just want to tell you thank you for all the hard work and that you do.
Yeah.
Compactor, did they repair it or they just replace it?
They changed the cylinder.
Okay.
Hydraulic cylinder. I told the guy, I said, if I was a bet, man, I'd have lost.
Yeah.
You figured they replaced the whole thing?
No, they just replaced the cylinder. That's all that was wrong with it.
Huh.
Quieting it right down and everything.
Yeah.
As long as it's fixed.
Tim, we talked about our second compactor. You've come across another way to do more of a self-contained compactor. I'd like for you to explore that option pretty hard.
Okay.
And the reason behind it, I don't know where it's going to go, but if something happens, like in our 4th of July Memorial Days and all of our holidays that we have on our coastline, we could probably get the power, because Swanee and Horseshoe has the power to where if we was running close, we could put that compactor down there too. Is that correct?
Right, that's correct.
So, and it's a lot bigger compactor than what you have now.
No leach aid.
Right.
Yes. The guy told me that's the way to go.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
Yeah.
A lot more environmentally friendly. I talked to the guy for a pretty good while yesterday about it. We was working on the compactor, and he recommended, especially in a rural community like this, that's what he recommends. He said they would come on site, look at the site, tell me what type needs to be at that site, so you kind of ain't going into it blind and spending money you don't need to spend.
I like the idea that it's mobile. You can
move it around.
Move it on the coastline, you know, during them holidays, because I don't think they justify one today, but during holidays they definitely justify one.
Yeah.
So it would help us serve our coastline folks a lot better. And if we're going to do something, I like the idea of a leach, because how's that working down there with the leach, and is it very bad?
It's not too bad, but we really have had a lot of rain. I mean, compared to what we have seen, so it's not really that bad.
Right.
But it's just, they just told us more about environmentally friendly because it's a sealed system.
Yeah.
And you don't have all that runoff. And I can understand that.
Yeah, I'd like for you to explore that option pretty hard. Because I think we should have one budgeted this year also.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing one a year. So anyway, explore that option pretty hard, please.
Well, I'll call the guy and see if I can't set something up where he can come over and we can look at the
size. Okay. Thank you, Tim.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Mr. Leon.
Just real quick, we spoke earlier in the week with the state FDM on the floodplain ordinance. We got back the first draft on that. Me and Mr. Gene, he was here earlier, we went over it. We've made some edits to it, sent it back, waiting on return copy back on that. The other thing that I want to talk about was what was brought up at the workshop. I don't think everybody quite fully understands, and I don't think the public fully understands, that if you at any point in the storm apply for any type of financial aid, you went on a list. If you took any money, you went on a list. FEMA passed the money out. They went out, they took photographs, and they gave money. Now they've come back to the county, and we have to do a report on these houses, and we have to go in and make determination that they violate the 50% rule. There's 150 of these houses that FEMA has identified out of 1,591 of these houses that I have to have my report in by March 1. The rest of them I have to have done by December. Obviously, that's a lot to do. Other part of that right there is you have to be very careful with this. And the reason why I say that is some of these people took and received good chunks of money. And when you talk that somebody got $40,000, $50,000, $70,000, some of these figures, and they put the money back into their house and they're living in their house right now. But they didn't pull no permits, no nothing. And we come up there and we're trying to figure out if they violate the 50% rule. What are you going to do now? You going to tell them, hey, we got to turn the power off, you got to elevate your house? Like, this needs to be handled very delicately. So it is a time-consuming process. There's no doubt about that. I don't have all the answers on that. What I do know is I've done the best job I can. And at the end of the day, it's not going to hurt us horribly bad because we're not in a CRS program. You pay the maximum flood insurance policies that you can. What would be ideal? The ideal thing is to get all the responses back that they want, get them recorded, make sure you meet the deadlines in time to be able to go later on into a CRS program to where you're eligible for discounts and benefits for that. You know, that's... I had brought up the fact that there was agencies out there that could help do these inspections earlier, right after the storm. The county did not have the funds to pay for that, or it wasn't available at the time to have them waived. That's where we're at. Horseshoes will get done for the county. They're running on that right now. I'll work as long as hard as I can on it. That's my goal, to get it finished up for you, but that's the reality is where we're at.
Just do the best you can. And you're doing a fine job.
So, you got any questions for me?
I've got one.
What's the 50% rule?
So if your house is valued at $100,000 and you're below base flood, you cannot do more than $50,000 worth of work to it until you bring it up out of the flood zone.
Mm.
And, don't get me wrong, if you're below base flood and there are ways to, you know, meet them requirements, but it gets to be more in depth and we'll go over right here. You know, don't get me wrong, when FEMA first showed up, they had a list of 31 houses that they wanted to talk about. We gave them a list of 75. That pacified them. Then they came back with another list of 150. And then they come back and the list grew to 1591. It just seems like the more information you give them,
the more they want.
The more they want.
Leon, what would it take for you to meet this deadline?
I mean, either A, I focus 100% on this right here.
Blow our phones up.
We stop issuing permits and we stop doing anything else that the building department tackle that. Because I have to go and take a photo of each place and figure out, because some of these places, they do not get permits, and figure out what they applied for to have repair done, and then see if they did violate the 50% rule or not. Who knows? Some of these places, I can tell you, well, I can't say that. I don't want to speculate. But
might be a little closer.
Some of them might be close, and then some of them didn't spend nothing to fix the house. So it's on. You go by and you realize, like, hey, this house received, needs to be fixed, and it's not fixed. It's still damaged, and now it's a code enforcement case. Like, it's a hazardous building sitting there.
And people are living in it?
No.
But they receive money on it?
Yep. So.
So we need to get you some help.
What does FEMA do
then? Well,
I have no idea, sir. It becomes a code enforcement case, I tell you. And I have a pretty lengthy list. Now, don't get me wrong. We reached out to Congresswoman Katz's office and explained our disagreement. FEMA passes money out, and we have FEMA comes and wants a report. The one hand of FEMA's not talking to the other hand. It's their report. They should have done their report when they gave them the check or had the report before they gave them the check. I don't have the answer for that. But it's an okay thing all across the state. So, I don't know. The other bad part about this list is even if they didn't get money from FEMA, they got it through Red Cross, it was still reported through FEMA. It's been an interesting endeavor.
So, when is this deadline?
March 1st.
Yeah.
March 1st.
Yeah, for the 150.
So that's basically in two weeks, 3 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Well, how many permits are you working on every day?
Don't get me wrong. They thought that there might be a way to extend those deadlines. I don't know. I hadn't even thought of asking for an extension on that.
Do you have to personally go there, or could you send some of your help?
So I've asked them, because we run into this in Horseshoe, if it gets to be where they can look at it and say, no, they're 30%, they're 40%, but once it hits that 40 and above percent, they don't make the determination, they do the report, they bring it to me, and look at it, see if they miscalculate.
So you could actually cut... Theoretically talking, from what, 75 was your number? You could whittle that down to where you actually have to look at 40% of the 75, maybe?
No, there's 150.
Oh, 150, okay.
Yeah. And that's the 150 that's due March 1, and then the rest out of that 1591 is due in December.
So, you need some extra help?
You need some extra time, too.
The process in Horseshoe will be on time.
Yeah.
Same process.
Yeah, same process.
How's that process working down there?
I ain't trying to get into all the ins and outs of it, but it's been basically the new town hall that they just have air insurance money that I don't know how they're doing. But I'm telling you, it's different. I don't argue with them if they want to help me, and they said they could.
How many homes did you have in Horseshoe, Leon?
There was 75 damage down there. You know,
so about half the number you had for the rest of the county?
Out of the list for Horseshoe, there's 31 that they have answers for.
Okay.
And now don't get me wrong, there's some of them that we know, one, that he had insurance, he got paid out, he demoed his house. I mean, it worked out really great for him. And there's a few of them down there that done exactly what the program was intended for. Here's something else that you got that came up the other day and it kind of was upsetting. You got someone here in the county that lost their primary home. They went to FEMA. They got just a little bit of money. It wasn't enough to fix it. So they just said, you know what, they're just going to tear down the house. It wasn't worth fixing. And they tore down their house. They got excited when they heard that Chip was going to be able to do house replacement. But they don't qualify because two of the people working in the household, one works at the prison, one works at the sawmill, and they still make too much to qualify for it. So I got people coming to the office wanting to talk about his programs, and
I talked to you this morning about that right there, and I talked to Matt this morning also, and still apply. I mean, at the end of the day, still apply. There might be a waiver there
exactly
for that. How big the gap is, to be honest about it. So be sure they still apply. And then I asked him about that because everything's went up except that number ain't moved. So that is a state number, so that might be something through our state representatives that we need to start getting them on board of raising that number up, because a gallon of milk ain't a dollar and a half no more.
I don't think you've had any complaints out of us over there, but we're fixing to be one person down. We did advertise for some help, and keep pulling a little.
That's it. Thank you. Mr. Brown.
First of all, I want to tell you that I'm sorry that you haven't. Sometimes we don't really hate to say something that we're not sure of, and I'll try my best to make sure that you get a pretty decent update at the board meeting how these projects move, so you know what things are. We have a few projects that are on the way right now. You have the budget report there. Ms. Lisa was a little upset that she didn't get to that $100,000 this month, but we knew that there would be months that she wouldn't. She hit 86,239. Mm-hmm. Get through at 482,835, which is still 82,835 over our projected budget. So we're still in the positive there. She's doing an excellent job.
She is.
She's still learning a lot. Ms. Virginia is helping a lot. And Ms. Tina is learning every time she has a minute that Chief Garner doesn't have her busy. She's stepping over and starting learning. So that's moving along well, and we're blessed to be able to make that happen as we did with the storm money. If there's any way we can research anything, let us know. We'll try to figure out whatever we can. I wasn't aware I'm not a big fan of FEMA. I'll just tell you that if there's any FEMA reps in the office, stand up or don't. they come in, and in the past years and years ago, they were the saving grace, and everybody got something that was all good. Today they're not. They come in, if you have insurance, they don't touch it. If you have damages, yeah, they give you something, but then they come back and check. And quite honestly, there's been a lot of fraud, so I can understand their side of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully our citizens do well with that and have expended that money as appropriately given. And if not, then that's not on me or you, it's the board. I'm sure they were well advised of how and why. But if we can help you, looking at it, we'll try to do what we can. We have, y'all know, we have the two stations that are being built right now. Mr. Bailey just spoke to me a few minutes ago. We are, I think, Ms. Martha's going to present a construction agreement tonight with Slack Construction, who took the low bid on that and was approved to be that contractor. We are working hard and have a date set. I did write it down for a pre-construction meeting. I think it's the 21st or 22nd, so we'll be able to sit down with the contractor and see where we go with that. It's going to be the station out in Old Town off of Chaffetz. That current station has been demolished. Everything's been cleaned up except a few items, and I spoke to Mr. Johnson the other day, and he's working on getting that if he has to be able to do that. So they're giving us 210 days in that contract to have the station built. So by August, September, we'll have a brand new fire station.
Right.
You can thank the governor and your reps and everybody that put in those efforts, mm-hmm. and hours and our trips to Tallahassee. And, you know, those things make a difference. And we've not asked for a long time. And I know where some money's at, and we're going to ask as long as the board's okay with that. The other building will be starting, they're talking about possibly in August. Be able to get started on it first of August. Perfect, it works out right after my vacation. Either way, that's going to be at our EOC. It's going to expand that facility. We're going to get four new offices, chief, a new conference room, a new lobby, plus a 10-man station. It's going to be a huge, huge build there, way bigger than what our current facility is. It's. Do you remember the numbers?
Doubling the size.
Over doubling the size of the facility. So that's another $3.7 million that the governor gave us. As I told y'all a few minutes ago, with this recovery money, there's two more laying on his desk, and we're hoping that he signs those. But again, there's $50 million allotted, and there's $112 or $119, I forget the number, that has been asked. But we know some of those, from what we've been told, are not viable projects, so some of that will automatically get cut. But we're hoping, we've got our fingers crossed, that we get two more. And we'll be able to rebuild one that we have now that's been in need of repair. I've had it in my 5-year plan to rebuild, and we held off because we tried with the mitigation before and it didn't work because we wasn't informed. And we're trying again. If that don't work, we'll try again. Today, y'all know that we submitted the Horseshoe Station in regular appropriations. But it's picked up in this special appropriation fund, so we've already told the senators to take that out. We had the logistical staging area that Ms. Kay mentioned in there to build an area so we could disperse our supplies during the storm, but also build you, the county, a new community center that could be used for 3 or 4 offices and also be used as a hurricane shelter so we don't have to close the school. Unfortunately, that number come in at $28 million. It was going to be designed to be a radio arena or any other covered facility use that you wanted. But I knew when we seen the number that it wasn't going to be picked up because they had already told us 2,000 or 3,000. So we knew that. I didn't want to turn it in. Mr. Cannon wanted to just in case. Because at the time, we didn't know how that storm money was going to be separated. But as we've seen it. And so we knew that wasn't happening. But the last project that we, our department, submitted was for the maintenance facility. Y'all are well aware that over next to Leon's office, we have our old 2-bay station. We do all of our fleet maintenance. My fleet maintenance supervisor and a member of the sheriff's office, I don't know if the sheriff stepped out, but we have 2 mechanics in there and a jail representative, a confined jail representative, that works in there, and they do all of our fire apparatus, which is a total of about probably 15, 9 ambulances, all of our staff vehicles, all of the sheriff's office response vehicles, supervisor staff vehicles, K-9 department, all of the town of Cross City Fire Department vehicles, and all of the city police department vehicles out of that building. We wanted a bigger building. We spoke with y'all about moving it out on the property out at the airport. Since then, I have been in contact with our fire truck sales rep. I mentioned to my actual representative what we were doing there, and he said, we want to do something too. And so when we went down, I met with the CEO of 10-8 Fire, and they want to, if we are given that, and there is space, to put a service center for Pierce Fire Apparatus for this part of the state of Florida. They have one in Cuniac Springs, and they have one in Bradenton, and they have none here. He said, Darren, I'll buy the lifts. I'll put money in it. You let me know what you need. I'll put a mechanic in it. You can get parts for your fire trucks at cost. You'll have a technician there to diagnose and fix and repair. So there's a lot of other factors going into that. Our ambulance company out of Texas has been asking, even back when Roland was here, to put a service center here. At the time, we were one of the only departments using Fraser. Now most of the departments around us are, so it is my intent, providing the room is there, to approach Adam in Texas and say, look, work on this, get some training for our fleet maintenance, and let's put a service center there and figure out how it can be beneficial to us, the department, and y'all, the county, and get some revenue coming in.
That's right.
Find some parts and services. But all of that is dependent upon, of course, it being approved. Leanne told me today that the Senate was going to pick that up. I made another phone call to a gentleman who's very good friends with Mr. Simon, and he said, we're working on it as we speak. I'm driving home right now. I wish I had known you were there. You could sit in on a meeting with us. So I can't guarantee it's picked up. Chief Garner's monitoring it every day, but hopefully next week we look and see a $3.5 million maintenance bill be picked up for the county, and hopefully the government won't veto it. Can't make you any promises, gentlemen. I'll tell you, like I tell my staff, I try not to tell you those things because you get your hoses up 6 weeks from now. You say, where's my maintenance bill? And I'm like, he didn't sign it. But you said it was coming. I said he's gonna get it.
Working.
Maybe he'll sign it. So just wanted y'all to know where we're at there. We've been busy. We've had a lot of things going on. We had a tanker training today for our new tanker. Chief Bass just told me the equipment's coming in this week for it, all with the hose. So we'll be requesting that reimbursement as soon as we get the stuff. That'll be nearly $500,000 we'll be getting back. Miss Jackie will be exceptionally happy. So that's moving. We will be attempting to have a push-in ceremony similar to what we did with the two new engines that when we got those a couple of years ago. That'll be on the 28th. I don't have a time yet. I will make sure that we get that out. Keep making sure that I get commissioners notified. I told you that we'll be meeting with Ms. Campbell on the 27th in Gainesville. A lot of that is in relation directly to fire grants, but there are other grants and operations there. And also, I have been attempting to get a meeting with her for quite a while regarding the FQ. HC situation that I talked to y'all about for medical care within the county. We spoke about that almost a year ago. We had some conversations on doctors, doctors' offices, hospitals. We're going to have that conversation. I had that conversation today with the head folks over the Department of Health, the top two people. They are aware as well, and they've been researching. We've been begging folks to put a hospital here. We'll see if it comes. Again, don't go tell everybody we're getting a hospital. Don't. Please don't. But I have a proposal fixing to be dropped on my desk. We'll see what it says. That's all I can tell you. There's another agency looking, so we'll see. We're going to try our best to have a groundbreaking ceremony the 13th of March. That's 2 days before I vanish. I've already talked to the previous director of the state fire marshal's office who helped us get those stations. He said, please call me. So we're hoping. I've got a shiny shovel in my office, so we're hoping that we can utilize that. And we'll get you those dates if it changes, and we'll get you the times. I don't know how elaborate it'll be, but I'm at two pages on an invite, so we'll see what happens. Other than that, gentlemen, again, you know, I'm sorry we haven't given you more information. I hope it hasn't caused you any headaches. Opioid money, we're working on that. Y'all, thank y'all for what y'all give us there. I was informed today there may be other funds coming regarding that to the tune of almost as much, I hope. I think we're going to get in a different manner. There's some complications with the contractual stuff on what we have right now, but we figured a way to navigate through that without causing us, the county, and y'all any issues, so we're going to move forward with that $84,000. We'll reevaluate at the end of June when we have to redo the contract there. But that money's coming. It'll help our CP program. We're moving the department forward, so hopefully we're doing what you as the board would like for us to do. If y'all have any questions, gentlemen, I think I've gotten all I have.
I got it.
Yes, sir.
It's no secret that I adopted an 86-year-old man, and his family, it's just a sad situation. And Allison, me and her have been talking about this paramedicine program. I don't know if people realize the magnitude that she touches people and the job she does.
Working on them.
That's, she needs about four or five out of girls.
I'm telling you,
that's a heck of a program.
I appreciate the compliment. I'm going to give credit where credit's due. Prior to Mr. Ferguson being my administrative chief, I had a Mr. Scotty Fendarvis. He come to me one day and he said, we need to do this. And I was like, you can't do something like that, wasn't it, Scotty? And he ragged me for almost a year and he eventually convinced me. The problem with the community paramedicine program is there's no way for us to bill for anything that she does. I can't recover a single dollar out of that. They are working on that on the state level. Pendarvis worked diligently to get a grant through the Anti-Drug Coalition. I'm not sure just who it actually comes through, but it funded that program for 3 years. First year was part-time, the second year and third year were full-time, paid for salaries and benefits, parts, pieces, trucks, fuel. It paid for the program. In 3 years, it was gone. We were not able to implement it as we wanted. First year, we did with her some when we could pull her off the truck because we were so short-handed. The second year, we got her on part-time. She'd done it a little bit along and along and worked her shifts. The third year, I think you had asked about then, Mr. Ferguson, we got that worked out and we got her on full-time, and that was paid for. This year, we didn't have that funding. Her budget with nothing in was $110,000. The state, the Department of Health is pushing community paramedicine throughout the state. We're the first rural agency to have a community paramedicine program. There were two more. Where was Lauren out of? Fort Lauderdale.
Palm Beach County.
And Manatee County were the first two that initiated. This is big out west where they don't have medical facilities. And they can build differently out there. But the state is working on that. We have a meeting the 25th of April at Cape Canaveral regarding this. And just prior to that, the state medical director is going to some meeting with Medicare and Medicaid to let them roll out the new codes for billing for local integrated health. So if all that comes to be, hopefully we will be able to bill after April or May. Myself and Chief Ferguson will be attending as we always do. Allison will be going, and I'm carrying Lisa as well since she's over our billing. And hopefully we'll get some answers there. We're very active. You all know that. Anytime we go to these state meetings, if the Department of Health is there, we're in those meetings. We have people there to keep up with these things. We pick up the fireside, EM side. We try not to listen, gentlemen. It costs the county some money, I will be honest with you. And used to, we would send one or two. With me planning to be gone in 3 weeks, I made sure that these other guys attended as many as they could to help me and learn what they could, and I'm going to continue to do that for the next year or two that I am here if the board is willing to accommodate that and our budget is. But there's a lot of good things come out of that. I appreciate the compliment, Mr. Hatch. I actually had to consider not funding it this year because I didn't know where our budget would be. But it is something that I see now that we cannot be without, and there are possibilities to expand that, and there's funding to expand that. And some of that I will be speaking with Kendra at Cape, and I don't know if we can do it this year. I'm not saying that, but there's some things there that we can hire some kids out of school to come in and help them do. And it doesn't have to be a paramedic. It doesn't have to be an EMT. If anybody knows a registered nurse that I'm before or a social worker, you know, there's all kinds of things that go into community paramedicine. I was just approached last week by the young lady who is kind of over for the Department of Health. She's a 27-year-old girl who wants to get married, just took the job, doing a great job. She wants to come down, and she does photography on the side. She wants to come down and photo and highlight our department, similar to what you've seen the other day with the Fire magazine, where they highlighted our department, our training burn. She wants to come down with some pictures of us. She said she wanted to try to find one of me that didn't look as grumpy as the Swanee Fire did. We had that communication today. Tomorrow I'll give her some dates, and hopefully before the 15th of March she will be down. Get us some pictures that we can put on our Facebook websites and different things and broadcast and send out, and of course she will through the state as well if people allow her. So we're looking at moving that. We're trying, and there's a lot. It's complicated because there's no money. It's just complicated. but we have them in our budget. This opioid money, we are applying to that. Unfortunately, the restrictions on that, the contract is such that if we use it for her wages, benefits, she basically becomes a DCF employee, not a board employee. And I said no. There's other ways we can spend the money. We will evaluate it next year. Maybe we can modify the contract. Maybe we can find some more money. Me and Ms. Chandler just had a lengthy conversation. I had a conversation with the capital today with the man that's over that, her boss. And he enlightened me on where the other half of that money is that y'all haven't seen yet. So we're digging. There's hopefully that much more that's going to come straight to the county. I will go ahead and tell you, John, I will take every dime of it if you will give it to me, and I will have you a community paramedicine program that will make this county very proud. You should already know that it is, I'm out of cards in my pocket because everybody wanted to talk to me about community paramedicine today. We're one of the leading counties throughout the state of Florida, especially in rural, that is doing this, and everybody is calling us. Next week, Bradford County and Baker County will be over here to visit with us and look at our community paramedicine program and how we can carry it forward. I spoke with Bradford County Chief today, Ben, and he is very anxious to get here and see what we're doing. If they can fix the billing side of it, it would be wonderful for us. Again, thank you, Scotty. That was a good move. Thank you for being stubborn enough to keep me moving. I am stubborn. That's where we are, John. Yeah, just as stubborn as you are.
Be sure she knows.
I will.
Yeah. Be sure.
Thank you all for your patience, gentlemen. We do have a lot. Our goal is to make our service the best in the state of Florida. And, I don't know if y'all know, we're one of the only departments, again, Scotty and Matt, we're one of the only departments in the state of Florida, might be the only department, that issues antibiotics in the field because of our length of transport time. Jan refused to take our patients. If we've done that, they said no. You can't guarantee the blood tests. Can't take them. Our medical director called in and said that they were not the medical director. He was, and we were unloading our patients and they could figure out what to do with them. Mm-hmm. Since the inception of that, when did we start that, Scotty? Do you know? I don't know if you were here or Matt was. That's been 3 years ago.
I wrote that protocol in 2018.
We have had one contamination, which was their major concern.
And that employee worked for them.
That employee worked for the hospital, which had the problem. And when they come to us, I said, you need to go talk to your employee.
Mm-hmm.
So it's recognized throughout the state. We're trying to move this forward, and it's something you need to have. So anything else, ladies and gentlemen?
Dan, you have a good question.
Yes.
Yeah, we got it.
Do we have a volunteer fire department now?
We do still have a volunteer fire department. We take applications every day. I have about 3 active members in the Old Town area, 2 in the 1st District area, and I think there's about 5 in Horseshoe.
So we still have?
We still have, and we will take any and all that we can in a trained or untrained load. They can work as a support member. We initiated that policy after the Firefighter 1 training requirements come out by the state.
Mm-hmm.
Those that wasn't trained, we call them support. We give them a vest and eyeglasses, and we would train them to drive our trucks because they wasn't in the fire. And guess what happened? State Fire Marshal's office now has a support rope, and they actually classify an uncertified member as a support person. We have those contacts, ladies and gentlemen, every day. We do. If you see someone that looks to join up, let us know. We can try to get them trained for a little bit of school because it's about a 3.5-month school so that they can work, still work.
It's complicated.
It is complicated.
It's required school.
Yes, it is.
Okay, then you guys are a fire school.
And we are a certified training academy in the state of Florida. I am the instructor that is on record for that certified training academy. Unfortunately, I can't train one person. In our business, you have to have partners, you have to have help. And if we don't have at least a dozen people in the class, I don't even start one because 50% drop out within 2 weeks. So it's a waste of our time and everybody else's time. It's almost a 4-month process at night after our work is done during the day. We have to teach until 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, 3 nights a week, Saturdays. So it's complicated for us. We haven't been able to offer one in a long time. We have a full 3-story burn building out behind our office that is recognized and in the process of being engineer certified as a live burn facility in the state of Florida. Engineers already signed off on telling us what we need to do. We're making those repairs, and it will be certified. Mr. Bailey certified Florida Gateway College, their site, and he said yours is as good as theirs, and we'll certify it for you. But you got to do this, this, and this, and we've got this and this done. We still have that to do. Once that happens, I hope before I leave, that will be there. But we are recognized through the State Fire Marshal's Office as a training site as well.
Oh, great. So, there's probably an age requirement.
There's a physical requirement.
Yeah, the climb through a ladder with a whole leg on, I don't think I can do that anymore.
Anything else, gentlemen? Ladies?
Thank you, Mr. Brown.
Thank you.
Mr. Scott?
My request tonight is going to be for some ARPA funds reallocation from the board, from the smart cop allocation that we gave the board for the sheriff's. I've spoken to the sheriff. They're pretty much done with their expenditures out of that money. Martha and I sat down this morning and made sure what was left of that money. There's $140,000 left on that money. After we've got all of our smart cop stuff put in at Fire EMS, there's, you know, things that we still need. One of the things that we found that we need, and I didn't think about this in the very beginning, is mounts for the computers for the trucks. For that computer to be sit there and mounted in the front of the truck like it should be and secured and all that good stuff. So I'm asking for $50,000. That's going to buy a mount for every truck. And also there's a few trucks that was left out of those cradle points, Wi-Fi access points for the trucks. There were a few trucks that was left out of that when we did that through that grant program through the state. So we needed a little bit more money to try to finish, fill that gap in to make sure those computers have connectivity. And also,
did you include the two new trucks?
Yes, I did. And just, I keep that two new trucks as part of that. And also, since we got these new fire stations, we've got to add more of those computers to the stations so we can see the display of the CAD in those new stations. So that's adding to that as well. So I'm just asking for $50,000, at least $90,000 left in that allocation for the sheriff if he wants to do anything else. But he said he don't have any expenses.
I actually sat in on a meeting on this with Danny and Paul. And was you in that meeting also, Martha, at Paul's office? You wasn't?
No, I was not.
Okay. And Danny did, they did have a little bit of stuff left that they needed to do, and I think that money, what you're talking about, the best I remember the conversation was that would be fine.
Yes.
Because they actually did, the sheriff actually did give y'all some more money, and I forget what the number was.
Yeah, the first allocation, reallocation we done was to purchase the computers, right. And all that was $45,000.
Right.
Like I said, we did that with to purchase 11 laptops and the license to go with it for smart cop. And then we also did purchase a couple computers for the stations for displays. That was for the existing stations. So, like I said, the amounts are around $1,500, give or take. I've got some quotes. I haven't got all three to satisfy ARCA. I'll work with Eric to make sure all that's squared up before we do anything. But I need about $50,000 just to fill those gaps for those other things that we need.
Alright, here's what I'll do, because I can't remember the numbers, but I do remember having the conversation with Danny, so I'll make a motion to do the $50,000 pending sheriff signing off on giving the blessing, because normally he talks to me about stuff like that,
yeah.
And he didn't say nothing about it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he and I talked about it this afternoon as well.
Yeah, I'm sure he's fine,
yeah.
But pending his yes,
yeah. Sure.
I don't have an issue with it at all. Is that good enough?
I was there for the beginning of that conversation, but wound up doing something.
I thought she was.
He came in, and I thought he said like $35,000.
What I'm thinking, too, I'm thinking there's plenty of money left there.
Yeah, the sheriff, when I talked to the sheriff this afternoon, he said that they were just looking at making sure that all their computers are up to date. He said, but if there's $90,000 left, he said, we will never come close to that. He said, so we're good. If you want to get it.
Yeah.
That was the terminology he used
me
today this afternoon.
Oh, that's my motion.
We got a motion.
If Sheriff's good with it, I'm good with it. I'll second.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch, and a second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor.
One more thing I wanted y'all to just be aware of. This is just FYI. Just in case you hear it from somebody else, I wanted you to hear it from me first. The 911 board at last month in January approved to give $100,000 to the physically restrained counties, which you know we are one of them, to our 2911 for cyber, to beef up our cybersecurity for dispatch. But again, that money is specific to dispatch. It has nothing. I can't spend it on anything else. I just got the notification today that it has been sent and it's supposed to be in our bank shortly. Again, that money is earmarked for cybersecurity for 911 only. I can't spend it on anything else. So
okay.
I've got to work my magic to figure out what I can spend $100,000 on, because I just also just got cybersecurity grant for that last grant that I did in the fall. So
good problem to have.
It is.
Yeah.
I wanted y'all to hear somebody say, well, he's got $100,000. He ain't giving it to me. I want y'all to understand why I can't just, it's earmarked for 911 funds, because that's where it comes from.
Okay. Yes, thank you, Mr.
Thank
Scott.
You,
sir. Right. Miss Gail is not here. It's Holly. Miss Angie?
I know. What quick thing? He's not had surgery yet.
Okay.
So he's about ready to walk out.
I have come before you before asking for an extended approval of Charlie Jones with her baby. He is still having some medical issues, and she is asking for another 30 days. Holly has also contacted me that this will put her office closed the month of March. Because she'll be at the fair. So we're trying to work out a reasonable accommodation there to try to get Holly some help in there. But I do need board approval to allow her to take another 30 days.
Motion. Second.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Y'all have anything for me?
Thank you. And tell Hutch, he just be patient. Sit down. Tell Winnie to go get him something to snack on. And let the doctors. Let the doctors fix him.
They'll be happy.
Let the doctors fix him.
Yeah.
All right.
Angie, before you leave, I do need to feed you on something totally different.
Okay. Miss Margaret, it's all yours.
If you look at your county manager's report tonight, request for approval for the shutdown payment system to Jennifer Beveridge in the amount of $20,000.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen, a second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Request board approval for the shift rehab reimbursement for Deborah Beef in the amount of $24,805.65.
Motion. Motion, Mr. Osteen, second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Aye.
Request board approval of the resolution 2024-10 modifying the language to add a demo reconstruction strategy to the shift 2023-2026 LHAP. This is due to the additional HHRP funds that we received for King and Dahlia.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor.
Aye.
Request board approval for the flat construction agreement for the Old Town Fire Station in the amount of $2,189,040.
Motion. We got a motion, Mr. Wood. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor.
Aye.
Request for approval for the UCP, which is the Unified Certification Program Agreement. This is for the new requirement for the FAA for the DBE, which is the Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Certification.
Motion.
A motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor.
Okay.
Request board approval to allow Mr. Dean Higginbottom and Mr. Robert Lee to handle the services. On behalf of the Board of Commissioners, as completed in the previous year.
Second. We got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor.
And then one reminder that the NFEDC meeting related to the economic development on Friday, March 1st, 2024, is not transition anchor. That's an old time. I think you all know what it is, but I do put the address on there for you. And Mr. Hatch, you have been paid for. Anybody else that wants to go, you need to let me know. I'll just
sign
up.
Okay.
But because you guys are the economic development, Thank you very much for being very kind to me. Do you have any questions?
No, ma'am. Yeah. Thank you for everything you do, Miss Martha.
You're very welcome.
You keep poor old Paul pretty straight, and thank you for that.
Poor old Paul. I know he has to handle everything out there.
Miss Chana?
Yes, I do have something. I mentioned you gentlemen earlier an agreement, as you both all know, and I'll just make it clear on the record. I do represent the Dixon County School Board, but I also represent y'all. So I'm bringing this before y'all with, and I'm kind of pre-talking to y'all about it. The building in Old Town, which is known as the Dixon County School Board Meeting Room, or as the commission named it, the W.C. Mills Building. The school had asked me to hear months back. We talked about it. We were going to get the building from them. It was a single building, not the two buildings that we discussed back a year or so ago in a workshop. As it stands now, they're wanting an agreement from the board, and I'll give you a two-page document, but the real terms are pretty brief as far as what they're wanting in return for the building is that the board shall assist with the establishment and development of an access road, including but not limited to clearing the route, hauling debris, supplying lime rock, labor, and equipment. And then, of course, the rest of this, once you took the building, you'd be responsible for all costs. You would allow them to still use the parking lot. And if you fail to, you know, complete the agreement, then, of course, the building would revert back, and it would have a reverter clause which said that if it was ever quit being used for a public purpose, that it would revert back over to the school board. That is what they would like your agreement on.
I want to ask a question. A while back, when we voted on this and everything, I thought we had done signed that they had done gave that building to us. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Y'all voted to accept it because this has been a drug out process and just short and skinny of it. I don't know if we'll ever get to an end of it, it seems.
Oh, we're passing to.
But that's what I need to get with y'all. They wanted us to accept the building. Since then, things have got a little complicated on that side, and it's public record, so it's not like it's a secret, but the school is having some financial issues. They're having shortfalls. So now they're a little nervous about gifting an asset without something in return when they could possibly be looking at layoffs and those type of issues within their system. So trying to, you know, look out for the best interest of both. That's the reason I brought it to y'all in open forum so y'all can discuss it. This is what the school would like. Now, from the county's perspective, I know that there's some disagreement about it.
This is District 2, Commissioner Wood. So I'm going to just revert to him. It's your district, so how do you want to handle this?
What where?
The community
the
road?
The community building?
Oh, it is.
I'm thinking about the high school.
Well, I know, Mr. Wood, I don't think you was there when all this, and it wasn't when we had our own meeting down there in Old Town that the board agreed to help them,
right,
and assist them in building that road.
Yeah.
Not to go in there and just build it completely.
Right.
That's what they want us to do now. Do all the clearing, do everything except pave it.
Right.
How much money is that going to cost the county to go in there, lime rock, and everything to do that?
You got to remember, there's a piece of Swanee property in Swanee, too,
yeah.
that was right there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's even off the table.
Period.
Yeah.
Hmm. Because it was, you're right, Mark.
You're right, I'm right.
Because it was that the Swanee property and Old Town, yes. For us to
this was back before Michael took his vacation. Michael represented the county.
Okay.
You know, I try to be politically correct. I couldn't think of a good word. He went for a sabbatical. But he was there, and there's a piece of property in Swanee, and there was the school board meeting room. The county and the school board at that time talked about the properties both coming to the board in return for their assistance on building this road. This road is an access road. In case you are not all up to date, I'll kind of give you a brief overview of this. It's an access road which will allow the buses to go from the high school over to the middle school without having to get back out on 19. It also is a safety concern for the school with our children and all of everything for several reasons. There's one in, one out to our high school. So if we have an accident in front of the school that blocks the road, or we have an oil spill or gas spill or whatever could happen, it's very possible that access to that school would be totally shut down. There's no other way into it. So by building this access road, it gives another entrance and exit point. Now, the road is not going to be utilized by the public. It will be a restricted road for school buses and personnel, basically on an as-needed basis, because it does go across the school, the city's spray field, which is another hiccup that we're still working on as the school board, because the school board still hasn't got a clear route, because we've got to go across. There's no way to get to where we need to be without going across the city property. The school owns property that, you know, if you're looking at the map, it's about a block or so over, which is several hundred acres probably, but, you know. And they can't get to where we need to be without going across the city's property. We're still working with the city on getting a clear access route there. We got, and I'll misquote the amount, I'm sure. Basically, I think it was around $1 million to do a road or something.
Yeah, I believe it was.
Which everyone's saying is going to be extremely short of being able to build this road. So we approached the county about helping by assisting, and at this time I only represented the school board, assisting in building this road in return for those properties. Since that time, things have kind of changed a little bit. So that's the reason I'm here tonight, gentlemen, with this agreement, is the school board met Tuesday. I'm sorry to say last night, but actually it was Tuesday. And they agreed to give the building to the board, but they wanted this agreement that said that y'all would. And it does say assist. In all honesty, it does say assist with the establishment and development of the access road, including but not limited to. And again, there's been quite a bit of discussion about whether or not there should be some dollar amount assessed. So I don't know how the board wishes to proceed, so I need some direction from the board as the board attorney as to how would y'all like me to proceed to approach the school board.
Well, there definitely needs to be some kind of assignment of amount of money for sure that we're talking about. I mean, I like the word assist, you know. And I agree with it. We'll assist, but I don't think we need to build the road for them either.
And I honestly, from the discussions and all on the school board side, I don't believe the intention is ever being for y'all to have to go out and build the whole road. The problem with the school board is they don't have the equipment to do this, and they're going to fall short on the money. And they've got a very limited time to make this road happen. If they haven't made substantial moves by the end of this year, they're going to lose the money.
Why did they back out on the Swanee property?
Now, that part, all I was, all I can tell you is what I was told is that they needed it. They are having some shortfalls in their budget, some pretty big shortfalls in their budget. Like I say, everything's public record, so I don't think there's any confidentiality there that I'm breaching. But similar to the agreement we entered into, they had to enter into an agreement. So these are some issues that are tremendously affecting them. They're basically Again, if I didn't bring the paperwork, so I misquote the amount, but I want to think they were like $1.5 million short on their budget. And so they're trying their best to find it, or maybe they found $1.5 million and they're still $500,000 short. But like I say, a huge deficit in the school board budget. And so they've used some of their assets, like any loan, we have to have assets to
collateralize. All right, so what do you need us to vote on?
I need y'all to tell me whether you're going
to accept or deny.
Well, if that, or if you want to modify how it's going to be modified, because I need something, because it's taken a process, because the school board meets once a month. So that's what's really hindering us.
We've actually already offered them up to $250,000 worth of in-kind service, which would be doing some of this, and they turned that down, right?
They did pretty much, yes. They wanted it open-ended.
So, yeah, they want it open-ended. So let's close this loop. Because that's a $27,000, $28,000 a year building just for utilities to run down there.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
We can build a building on some of else in Old Town. I call it the WC Veteran Building, Community Building. So, Daniel's district, so I'm gonna follow his lead on this one. As long as he does what I want.
Exactly. Well, that whole road, we built it.
Is
more.
About five.
Is more than that one building's worth.
Way more.
And then.
The chiller's bad in that unit and in that system. The whole building itself, I ain't going to pick the building apart. It's a good building, but it ain't no $500,000 building.
And I really don't want it.
Do we need something? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. And that's the tough spot.
Yeah.
You need it, but now they're the ones who backed up on the deal. Because we still collect their garbage at no fee whenever we stop that program. But yet we was helping the school system with their garbage. And I had all the numbers for that because I was going to shoot them with it down there in Old Town when we met. But they agreed to what we wanted, and so I left it alone. I don't remember what the number is. I'm sure they went up. But, Tim, you still dump everything with the school, free of charge. So, we're doing our part.
Yeah.
What you going to do? Accept or deny?
I'm
doing
that. Motion
to
deny.
Second.
Motion to deny Mr. Wood. Second, Mr. Hatch. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Now, can we tell them to come with us to rehash that and come again?
If that's what it is, what I'm taking from this meeting is if they want to proceed, they need to give us a dollar amount,
yes,
period.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And then at that point, depending on what it is, whether or not y'all would accept the building.
Okay.
And that's what I'll take back to that board so that it's totally clear. Because, like I say, it's a little confusing sometimes. It ain't often my two boards are not totally in alignment. And I know that this board is more than willing to help the school, and I've told them that many times, and that y'all do help the school. And the school board also is very appreciative of that help. But on this particular thing, you know, we're kind of at odds here, so it does make it a little
bit. Don't pull the trigger on that.
That's just too much there.
Got it. Understood, and I will take that back to them and see if we can revise this agreement, hopefully to still get y'all building and the terms that
we might need to start building them for the trash.
There you go.
Where does this leave the Swanee building that they agreed to?
Glendale's Park is probably where it's going to wind up at.
But I mean the property itself.
It's school board. Yeah, they agreed. What's wrote down?
And this other building, they offer assistance on that.
You was there. I know Miss Marva's there. There's a bunch of people there. They heard what it was. Exactly.
Y'all did that survey. They did this survey.
Yep.
Exactly.
That was all part of the agreement.
Yeah. State
Jim Ward.
That's right. And I'm sorry, Miss Joni.
I'm sorry.
You have to get on to me, Miss Joni. I told you the other day, get on to me. that Miss Chana?
It is. That's all I had. I did tell y'all about. I did. No, that's it. Yes.
All right.
Have they presented a board of directors go to you?
No, because y'all ain't agreed to it.
It's all blocked anyway until they get it okay with the city to go right through the middle of the city.
That angle.
That's crazy.
I mean, they presented some alternative routes that we're looking at. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a special workshop with our with Heather, our engineer, and let everybody get up to speed on what they're asking, and they can ask their questions. Before we meet with the school board, we do want to help, but the roads that I've seen that go through, I just was presented another one. I hadn't really looked at it. Cheryl sent me one. But the other ones that have been presented, absolutely not. I told them to begin with when Lucas and Amanda and Cheryl, they hit me up about it. I said, why don't, you know, they said, well, we can't use the power line thing because Duke won't let us. And I'm like,
that's the most.
I said, why don't we get with Duke and talk to them about that.
Yeah.
Because that's the most feasible.
We're straight shot.
Yeah.
It's already clear.
And that has been, that was the original intent. You know,
but
Duke said is we can't get within 60 foot of their high power line.
I mean, I don't see understand what it is. Because
that'd make it easier for Duke to work on that stuff. They have a road to drive down instead of through a sand bed.
My thinking is, if you can't drive within 60 foot of a high power line, then we got a bunch of Duke power lines somewhere that needs to be pulled up.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm the attorney. I don't get to say these things.
Yeah, but
we're
going to
meet with that engineer, and then we're going to meet with them. That way we can have an intelligent conversation about it.
And that's one of the hiccups. And like I say, what's happened is that we're running out of daylight.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it takes a little while to make things happen, and we can't get a route until we can go across because there's no way to get to where we need to be. We thought, you know, we talked about even swapping properties and all, and I know you probably know about that too, but or everything that anybody's come up with has just been shot down. So it has.
What's your name?
Ryan Fulford. ULFORD.
I'm good.
You good? Miss Hickenbach.
I do not have any plans, but Karen Arnamis, and so she asked me to remind you about her the cleanup that Cross City was going to renew. Starting back up several years ago, once a month. It worked out real good, a few hours each Saturday morning, once a month. And she's got it scheduled for February 24th, March 30th, April 13th, and we are starting at 8:30 in the morning at City Hall. Any help will be greatly appreciated.
Okay.
What's the April date?
The 13th. So next Saturday is the first one.
Not this Saturday, the following Saturday.
Right.
Is that it?
That is it.
Thank you, Ms. Hickenbottom. All right, Commissioner items. Mr. Wood.
I got, after all this, is appreciate it, Tim. You worked very diligently to get that up and running, and I appreciate that. And let's just keep everybody, Jody and his family and Stevie and our thoughts and prayers. That's it.
Yeah, I got a couple of things. Miss Karen Van Arnum has asked me to be sure y'all know about S. Cross.
She's making sure it got told.
Yeah. So, Tim, if you will, dates right here, give this to Tim, please. And I also want to make a motion for the county to provide dumpsters on them dates for the cleanup to where they ain't hauling all over the place. What we've done before in the past, we set a 20-yarder out there at the City Hall. They throw the trash in, and it just worked out so much better. They had one truck roving around picking up trash bags and just throwing them in the 20-yarder. So my motion is for Tim to put 20-yarder there on them dates.
We got motion, Mr. Hatch, second, Mr. Osteen.
Now, Fulford, there was a city council run, Jay Fulford. There was a thing over there at
Johnny Green Park. It's a Black History Month celebration. It's on the same day, the 24th. It'll start, I believe, at 1 p.m.
Yeah. So, motion to put a dumpster there also for that event, probably just a regular can, Tim, on that event there for the Johnny Green History.
We got a motion for Mr. Hatch. From the other two, all in favor.
The other thing is I got a call. From actually Lucas Rollison, and it was kind of ironic because we was all down in Orlando at one of them trade shows or whatever we go to down yonder. There was a little fellow that lost his life trying to save another little fellow, and he saved the little fellow, but He lost his life. He drowned. And there was no life preservers there at the boat ramp. And so his mama went on a crusade. And she was down in Orlando. And I visited the booth and got some information on it. And I brought it back to Dwayne. And as a number of things just never come through. But Lucas was at one of these boat ramps. And lo and behold, there was a life jacket hut. Tent, whatever you want to call it, a pavilion, that's a better word to say, and it was this lady. So he was wanting to know if we could try to get this implemented at our boat ramps, also for life jackets. I got the information in the office at home, and I'll get you the information, but is that something y'all might be interested on us to pursue?
The way he explained it, yeah. Mark, the way I understood it, it's like use life jacket?
Yes. Yeah.
And what it is you, and I pictured, you know, like you see these little book things, and I know life jacket's bigger than a bookshelf, but these little libraries that everybody's put up and they put your books
yeah.
in, and you come by and you take a book out of it. And so that's kind of the picture I had in my mind when he
yeah,
was explaining it.
Pretty
cool. And if you had, like, life vests that you weren't using, you could donate them to this station, and then they would be put there. So if I come along and I've got a 10-year-old that don't have a vest, I can go over there and find one in the weight limit and put it on this kid. Or, as he explained, you got teenagers on your boat, you're going to get an extra teenager somewhere, and you might not have a
right.
vest or something. You could go to this station and just, you know, kind of get this vest. And like I said, a lot of us around here, we live by the water, we have a lot of vests. And
right.
especially children's vests, because they start out little and tend to grow up big, you know. And
so, are y'all interested in looking at this
yeah.
and trying to get this program
yeah.
implemented?
Yeah.
Okay.
We need a motion.
Yeah.
Motion.
We got a motion. We got a motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor.
The last thing, and we've been reminded of this also, is the NFPD meeting at Camp Anderson, March 1st. Y'all please try to come, all the members. I think me, Ryan, and Miss Karen, we sat on them board. We sat on, that's one of our boards we sat on, and we're going to do the introduction for the county. We're going to stumble through that and try to make it look good, but don't show up. It's March 1st. It's on a Friday.
It don't have a time on it, Mark. Do you know a time?
8:30 to 12.
Yeah, 8:30 to 12. I'll have breakfast and lunch there also. We talked to Jeff Henry today in Perry. We had a meeting in Perry today from 10 to 2. We went to, all three of us did. And so, yeah, 10 to, or that was 10 to 2. This was 8:30 to 12, something like that. But anyway, yeah, y'all try to come to that and send us reminders, please. And the second thing is, like Daniel, reiterate what he said with Jody and Hutch both. Y'all keep them in your prayers and wish them a speedy recovery.
Yeah.
That's it.
Same thing with Jody and Hutch. You know, keep them in your prayers. Hopefully they'll be home soon and recover. And I have one more. A couple more things. Fiddlercraft Festival is coming this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They have a band there Friday. There'll be a lot of our Peace County citizens coming down there. I just wish I hope everybody goes down there and have a safe night. Don't do anything crazy. Get too drunk. Call me. I'll come take you home. Anyway, I'll come. Third thing is I had a meeting this week with Hutch and Mr. Paul Greenwell, which was the Steinhatchee Stingray Recreation Association there. We had a meeting there about having us a walking trail at D-Track. Well, the way they want to do it, it's going to take a lot of our Lime Rock resources, so we're going to do it in stages. And Hutch wanted, we all agreed on for me to have a motion for us to start it, but that way we do it in phases where we want to take all of our resources and our help.
A little bit there.
Yeah, do it little by little.
At his discretion?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And that way all the older citizens down there have a place to walk, not have to worry about, you know,
the grass and weeds.
Well, get run over by somebody's feeding or something like that. So. Anyway, I got a motion.
Second.
We got a motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor.
Wait a minute. We're going to make sure that, because we're tied on Lime Rock right now.
Yeah, we are.
Yes. It's
going to be his direction.
Yes.
If he knows where rock needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's got extra rock, he can put it there to help out. Okay.
Right. Well, I don't want to take all the resources because we have a lot more in the county going on than everybody's district. So we'll do it little by little, and that way we can get it done, get everything done.
We've got a motion and a second. All in favor.
Aye.
And I'm done.
And I want to, like everybody else, keep Jody and Hutch in our prayers. We just need to keep the whole county in our prayers.
And Angie, because she's got some problems.
Yeah.
I'll be out the whole month of April.
Yep, keep her.
Yes.
Good Lord's got us all. And just go. I keep telling myself this is just a test, just a test, just a test. Makes us stronger. But let's just keep one another in prayer. Keep our county in prayer. We're getting better, little by little, day by day, second by second. We're getting better and better. And good meeting. We didn't have to hit the hammer. I didn't have to run nobody out of here, so that's a good meeting there. Anything else?
Yeah, Shana, on our workshop that we talked about, Leon needs the help over there. This group's sitting back there ready to go to help. We was talking about piggybacking off of Horseshoe. Can you research that pretty quick to see if we can or can't? And if we can, we'll hold an emergency meeting. But I also want to make a motion to go out for advertisement for that also.
We got a motion, Mr.
Hatch.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
To go out for advertisement
out
for a consultant.
Advertisement. Yep. Got a second, Mr. Wood. Any discussion?
Yes, I'd still like to have one question before I'm going to talk to both sides.
He still go out for advertisement. Then we still got to come back and vote on it.
Well, we have to start the procurement process. Even if you had entered into an emergency agreement with them, you would still have to begin this procurement.
Right. Still have to happen.
So if you're going to go forward with it.
Don't just leave the door open just for them. There's other companies, too, that might be.
If you put it out, it's like anything else. It'd be open to anyone who meets qualifications.
Yeah. And we still got to vote on it. To accept it or accept somebody else or whatever. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm good with that.
And, you know, and again, and I know, you know, for everybody's side, that some of the concerns may be something that could be in the drafting of the contract. I would definitely think, you know, that the part that the county has already got out under Darren and his crew and Scott definitely shouldn't be part of what we would pay them 5% for. Our guys have already done that. We've already paid them. But a lot of this, I think, you know, we may be able to tailor the contract to help. I'll have to look at Horseshoes to see how their contract is set up as to whether or not it will meet our criteria here. It's likely it will, but then again, they have some uniqueness about Horseshoe that maybe it won't. So without, you know, a blanket, no one says we couldn't, but definitely we'll check it for piggyback and let you know.
Okay.
The biggest thing I'll need is a copy of that agreement. Could you gentlemen possibly get that to me?
Yeah.
And that way I can look at it and see.
And we're going to advertise, correct?
Yes. Miss Martha, that Holland, Mr. Paul. But yes, we would
definitely. Motion and a second.
Second.
As long as it passes, I guess. We didn't take the final vote.
Yeah.
And I yayed it.
You did. Okay.
You yay it? Or you?
We're still going to need some more prayer. It passes three, y'all.
Exactly. But still, it ain't guaranteed, yes. And I want some more information, too, but we got plenty of time to get that for all of us.
Right. I mean, because the advertisement for procurement, it takes a little while because of the time frames and such as that. So we can start that process. And if y'all get information, you decide we don't want to go no further, we just pull the plug, basically. But if you don't start it now and you wait, then you're going to be that many more days behind.
Down the road.
Don't get busy. I'll have to advertise it by Monday.
No. That's generally the way it works.
Okay, I'll try.
Money's a holiday.
Yeah.
Pays
double time, too.
I'm on salary.
Double comp time.
I mean, you just work.
Yeah.
We don't have time for salary.
You know, she brought up a valid point right there. You know, since we're talking about this, there's a flaw in the salary people's setup. It doesn't cover EMS over there, but for the rest of us, me, Tim, now Martha, she's starting to see it. If I work overtime, it's not a state of emergency or anything. It's just, oh, thank you, man. It's donated time.
Yep.
But if I take time off, I burn my time.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost should be a comp time set up, you know, and I don't know. It needs to be looked at.
It does.
Well,
I talked to the last two managers about that same very thing.
The school system's got comp time.
Suppose anybody does have comp time. The way it worked, at least at the prison, they didn't care how much we got. They just weren't going to pay you for it. You could get it off.
Yeah,
you know,
it.
But
your doctor's note.
It's still the same way, ain't it, David?
You need an hour off here and there. You still get your salary.
So
ain't docking.
If y'all need her to work Monday, she should work Monday.
No more candy for you, buddy.
Wait a minute. Is that they figured in on your house inspections?
Now it's y'all's turn.
March the 6th is our combined council commission meeting. That'll be March the 6th at 5 p.m.
Yep.
We move that up so we can get a few more people there. That we're having trouble getting off during the day.
Okay.
So that would be at 5 o'clock, and as far as I know, we're still going to meet at the at City Hall.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else?
March the 5th, which is a Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock, the Tourism Development Council is having a workshop, and Visit Florida will be doing a big presentation on their whole program of the $100,000 that they've donated to us and the videos that they've been putting together for us, and information for any businesses that are tourism-related, of free programs that Visit Florida has for them, and we'll also be doing some social media information for these businesses to help them out. So that is 4 o'clock, Tuesday, March 5th, at the library meeting room.
Okay.
We encourage any business to come.
Okay. Barbara?
There's a bill before the legislature regarding Commissioner Stoneman. I just wondered what the feelings were and if by chance it can be, if it was, I think it should be county by county, but that's just me. What's your take?
We already own term limits, honestly, really, truly, we are. Every 4 years.
Yeah.
And
And it was the way it had been handled previously before this bill. I think it was county by county.
Yeah.
And as a citizen and an attorney and also one that sits with these board members, I think an 8-year term limit is very restrictive and very harmful to our community. Because Mark's been here a long time, you can tell, because he knows every damn thing. you know, and I said it that way on purpose. Then you got Daniel, and no disrespect to Mr. Daniel, but he's our newest member, and we don't count David because, you know, he'd been here before. But, but you know, the difference in the knowledge of the county, even myself, I've been raised here, but I've only sat on this board for a short time as their attorney. Mm-hmm. But the difference in what you know from being involved in these positions, it makes a lot of difference. And, you know, I get where they're going as they're saying we're the good old boys and we lock down these positions and, you know, we die in them. Maybe, you know, our ancestors was that way, but it's not that way anymore because there's such an influx of people all the time in our community. I think it's, I don't think it's really necessary, is my opinion. I mean, as a board member, but that's as your attorney's opinion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As they should.
As they should, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
If you're not doing your job, you don't need to be here.
But I don't know what are we doing about it?
Ain't
one of them.
If it passes, it'll be statewide.
It passed on your school board, so take that as a hint, is all I'd say. And you got your school board members now sitting, they're already, the last election, they went into the term limits. So Miss Amanda and Lucas have 8-year expiration dates. So no matter what happens in 8 years, they're out of there, and some new person's going to be in here. And especially on, like, our county boards, any projects they put up, they're looking at 5 to 10 years before they get it to the finish line. So if they put your road down to be paved, they're not going to be here to make sure it passes.
Exactly.
You know, they're going to be gone because...
Representatives, your senator,
senator, call, light his phone up. Senators, your representatives. We got one more on the back.
One more, and I'm going to show my ignorance of Dixie County now. Is there any state forestry land in Dixie County? Timberland.
Dana's got a bunch down that way.
Yep.
Management area.
A lot of water
management.
Water management.
From the forestry department, it seems like there's this, in the statute, there's a clause, fiscally restrained counties, I believe, are entitled to 15% of gross sales off the state forest land for the school board.
But that would be if they, I don't even know if that's true.
Would that be if they sold it?
They'd have to.
Yeah, so I can think, this state goes in, sends out their...
Oh, you're talking about our timber and stuff?
Yes, timber.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Then the school board of that county is entitled to 15% of gross sales.
I hate that word. I've never heard of that.
And it's probably because, I don't know if our state forest that's been harvested.
No, I don't know. I haven't heard. They hunt on it.
Gothy is one of the ones that maybe gets some harvesting.
Anybody else got anything else? Need a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Houston. Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Uh-huh.